Welcome to Movements in California, a podcast about migration and mobility justice, produced by the California Center for Ethics and Policy, or CCEP, at Cal Poly Pomona and generously supported by the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience Grant Program. My name is Brady Collins, Associate Professor of Political Science at Cal Poly Pomona and Faculty Fellow with CCEP. This podcast will explore how migration and mobility are embedded in many of our public discourses, practices, and politics. While we often think of migration at the global scale, reflected in our immigration and refugee policies, everyday migration and mobility is also impacted by local and regional housing, transportation, and social policies that shape where we can settle, live, and work. While some are able to move freely across spaces with little consequences, others have limited options in the space they can traverse and access. This podcast will explore these issues as they relate to different policy areas, from immigration to criminal justice and urban planning. In this episode of the series, CCEP student fellow Stephanie Padilla interviews her godfather and cherished family member, Uncle Frankie, about the impact of immigration policies on his life and their family. In exploring his journey from Nicaragua to the United States, they unravel the intricate connections between personal and familial narratives in the broader political landscape. Uncle Frankie's story, and its connections to Stephanie's own story, demonstrate the lasting multi-generational impact of immigration journeys. We ask that if you like what you hear, if you care about these issues, please share our podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Thanks for listening.
Immigration has long been a contentious topic in the United States. In this episode, I'd like to discuss some of those immigration policies. More specifically, how immigration has shaped me, my life, and family. My name is Stephanie. I am a senior student at Cal Poly Pomona. And like many of my classmates, I am a first-generation student. As this podcast is being recorded, I am getting ready to graduate, and as you can imagine, my family is very excited. They have repeatedly reminded me how proud they are, and I have to say, though, as much as this feels like a personal accomplishment, I can't help but feel like it's an accomplishment for my entire family. In the weeks leading up to graduation, from picking out my outfit to decorating my cap and gown and sending out invitations, I couldn't help but think about the culmination of events that led to me obtaining my university diploma and walking the graduation stage. Throughout my years as a student, from elementary school to middle school to high school, and now as a college student, I've learned how immigration policies and migration in general has shaped the United States. But I wondered, what is the impact of immigration and refugee policies like on migrants years later and decades later? And how have certain policies shaped families like mine? To aid in the investigation of my many questions, I asked a person well-versed in the subject. To the world, he is Francisco Ernesto Medal, a pretty funny, hardworking, and sometimes serious kind of guy. To me, he's Uncle Frankie. Growing up, he was one of my favorite people. I remember being a little girl and running up to him, just excited to see him every single time because he was so fun and loving and just a genuinely caring type of person. And he continues to be that way to this day. So we sat down on Easter weekend to talk about what the migration process was like for him. With his permission, I recorded our interview. And what I thought to be a seemingly easy trip from Managua, Nicaragua, quickly revealed itself to be a tumultuous and sometimes life-threatening journey. I start off by asking Uncle Frankie where he lived prior to arriving in the United States. Up until he was 16 years old, he lived in Managua, Nicaragua. After which he spent 3 years in Honduras and then a year in Guatemala. And that was followed by 6 months in Mexico. All in all, he spent approximately 5 years migrating from his country to the United States.
Casi cinco. Wow.
Oftentimes when we think about countries that are going through political turmoil, we often think that there's this big anticipation of events that lead to these moments. But that wasn't the case for Uncle Frankie. He states that a typical day for him was going to school, coming home, doing homework, watching a little bit of TV, and waiting for his dad to get off work to help him with anything that he might need. I then asked Uncle Frankie if there were any historic events that stood out to him when he was a kid, still trying to figure out if he could remember anything that led up to him eventually having to flee Nicaragua. But he didn't. He states that his fondest memory growing up were of his family vacations. For a week in Nicaragua, they have what's called Semana Santa, and what's translated to be Holy Week. During Holy Week, he and his family would leave the city and spend an entire week at the beach together. Those are memories that he will never forget. When I asked if there were any other historic events that stood out to him, he remembered his father's 50th birthday. It was an enormous block party that shut down about three streets, and he remembers chairs and patio tables lined up in the backyard to celebrate his dad's big birthday. Still hear no signs of any type of political turmoil, at least any that he could remember at this time. What stood out to him, and even for me in this interview, was hearing how happy he was in his home country. Having heard how happy Uncle Frankie was growing up, I asked what led to him having to leave the country. He responded that weeks after turning 16, he was required to serve 2 years in the military. By 17, the Nicaraguan government wanted him armed and ready to serve. I asked what the migration was like for him emotionally, especially because he was so young. And he responded that it was really difficult because, like he stated before, he was a regular boy. He went from school to home and back again. So leaving the country at first felt like a sort of vacation, but he quickly realized that there was not really a way back home for him. I wanted to know what the experience for Uncle Frankie was like arriving in Honduras. Who did he arrive with? How did he even get there? Well, as the story goes, my grandfather managed to smuggle him in the back of a truck and sent him off with a very distant family friend and somebody that Uncle Frankie didn't know at all. But he says that when he arrived, the family that received him was very kind. And this family friend that my grandfather somehow knew is still like a father figure to him to this day. After spending a few years with the family in Honduras, Uncle Frankie tried to migrate to Guatemala, where his older brother was. The family helped him get there by trying to submit paperwork to prove that he could cross the border because technically he was a refugee. When he arrived in Guatemala, he found out that his brother had left 3 months prior. He tried to go back to Honduras, but there was an issue with immigration. His paperwork so he couldn't go back. He now found himself stuck in a country with no one, not even the family that had initially helped him. This was in the 80s, so it was quite difficult to get a hold of anyone. He couldn't phone back home. He couldn't call his family elsewhere. He was stuck.
Quedaron sin dinero porque pasaron tres días completos sin comer nada. Sí, eso fue lo más tenebroso, que piensa que ya no la vas a hacer.
I asked what was the scariest part of being alone in Guatemala. He said that the scariest part was the insecurity of it all. At one point, he went 3 days with no food, no water. And at this point in the interview, I have to say that it got pretty intense. I can feel that he still remembered those times vividly.
Inseguridad.
He goes on to say that he wanted to just be able to turn back time in those moments. He wanted to return to his family vacations, to what life was like before he had to leave his country. Eventually, he did make it to the United States. In 1988, he arrived and was greeted by his brother and sister, who had gotten here a few years earlier than he did. There were many things that led to Uncle Frankie having to leave Nicaragua. But upon my research, I found that the United States was pretty heavily involved in Nicaraguan politics during the 80s. Around that time, there was a rise of communism in Cuba. And Ronald Reagan was afraid that communism would spread to countries like Nicaragua. He authorized funds for recruiting, training, and the arming of counter-revolutionaries that included Uncle Frankie. It's interesting for me as a student to reflect on these policies that I learned about as an elementary and middle school student and how they continue to affect people that I care about a lot. Like Uncle Frankie. While this story is unique to my family, I really want to highlight the fact that there are many students that went through similar struggles with their family members who had to leave their countries. Migration continued to affect my family through the 1990s. In 1997, President Bill Clinton extended asylum to Nicaraguans, as they had already done so for Guatemalans and Salvadorians. While my family's struggle with immigration and policy is hopefully behind us, I think it's really important to note that there's still a lot of policies that affect students like me and families like mine. And I hope that in the culmination of the events that follow my career as a student at Cal Poly and as I move on to the next chapter of life, that I never forget that graduation was a culmination of not just my experience as a first generation student, but also of the legacy that Uncle Frankie and migrants like him to leave on us.
A special thanks to all the CCEP students who worked together over the past year to put together this podcast series, and for the ongoing advice of our CCEP faculty fellows, as well as the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience grant program. And thanks to you for listening.